We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. Now you understand I'm reading the Gospel of John, and we've been in this chapter for a long time, this 19th chapter. We can't get out of it. There's so much here. We get tied up on these verses, and our hearts get tied up too, and our emotions get stirred when you read about it. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. Said, here he is, take him and crucify him. Listen. And they took Jesus and led him away. Now God let them do it. God turned man loose and said, all right, here it is. That was a permissive will of God. God's permissive will. You know, God lets you do what you want to do. And, of course, there are limitations. There's some things you can't do. You couldn't harm Jesus. You can't harm a saint of God. For all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, but these people were leading away the Son of God. And God permitted it to happen. He said, all right. Jesus said, you'd have no power if I didn't give it to you. I have all authority, all power. You couldn't do anything to me without my permission. This was a permissive will of God. And Calvary reveals human nature at its worst. Nothing is worse than this. In all literature, in all the tragedy of the ages, there's nothing that shows up man like this picture here. You know, we talk about heroes in battles. We call the role of heroes, and God has only one role of heroes, and they're the heroes of the faith. We read about them in Hebrews. The men that believed God. The men that trusted God. That's God's hall of heroes. We read about them in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. But now here you have man. Man as he is. Man in the role. Man's nature. Taking the Son of God, the one that made all things and that holds all things together, the one that loved so much, his heart broke from loving. And there they are, leading him away. Where are you leading him? To sit down on the throne? To make him ruler and king and to worship him? Oh, no. We're leading him out yonder to put him up between two thieves. The sinless Son of God. We're going to put him there. Man's doing it. God said, all right, go ahead. Jesus said, you can't take my life from me. I'll lay it down on myself, and I'll have power to lay it down. I'll have power to take it again. It's all my permissive will. Here I am. If you want to do this, go ahead. I'll let you do it. And they did. And they led him away. As I said to you a day or two ago, there's never been a picture as tragic as this. Crown of thorns. The spittle of the hatred of all those enemies was mixed up with the blood from the crown of thorns in his beard. The Son of God. That man beaten, that one beaten into a pulp. More mangled than any form ever was. And they lead him away. But you know, many women, I read something in the Bible about crucifying Christ afresh. Do you know something? You say, I couldn't have done that. Well, your sins did it. My sins did it. If it had been no sin, he wouldn't have died. Our sins put him on the cross. Your sin and my sin. The sin of the human race put him there. It was necessary he die so God could be just and justify sinners. As I've said to you before, God is a God of justice. He's a God of mercy. But there's a sense in which mercy was a commodity purchased on the cross. God was just and God was merciful. And the just God had to have a just basis for mercy that could reach a sinner. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Really could be rendered God propitiate for me. See? The only way God could be merciful to a sinner was for Jesus Christ to die. God can't look at sin. God can't condone sin. You know when Jesus cried, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I gather thy children together as a chicken gathers a brood under wings, but she would not. That's the cry of a heart of mercy and love and compassion and tenderness. And yet, there he was, rejected by the people, and going out on a cross, to die, carrying his own cross up a hilltop. Carried it until in weakness he staggered under it, and marched up on till he got there and died. He delivered them to him to be crucified. And he's marching along now. But you know what you're doing if you're a sinner? You're driving nails through his hands now. You're spitting in his face now, whether you know it or not. You're saying, I'll not have this man to rule over me. Oh, the matchless love of God, the tenderness, compassion. But you know, he said he'll not always chide, neither will he withhold his anger forever. In the drama of the ages, Jesus Christ has played many parts. Now here he's playing the part of a servant. A one dying for poor lost sinners. Manifesting God's love. Going up there to pay a debt. Your debt. Your debt's paid. When Jesus Christ died, he paid your debt. The wages of sin is death, and he who knew no sin was made to be sin for you and me. And the debt's paid. Jesus paid it all. Not just a part of it. All to him I owe. I don't have to pay anything. I accept what he did for me. He died for me. He took my place. He purchased me a pardon. Now, if I won't have it, I just have to go to hell, that's all. But thank God I took mine. Was glad to get mine. You know, there's a record in the courts of America I read about when I was a boy. I've never forgotten it. Where there's a fellow tried, and back there, he did some great federal offense, I forget what it was, and he was sentenced to hang. And somebody had a question about his guilt, and they got to the president, and the president said that he had a question. So the president wrote a pardon for the man, and it said the man wouldn't accept it. And the court, Supreme Court of the United States, so I've been told, I know it's a reasonable position, said a pardon's not a pardon unless it's accepted by the man whom is offered. And the man went to the gallows and was hung, died, with a pardon written for him. Now the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross purchased a pardon for you and me. He offers it to you. You can have it if you want it. But you've got to take it from him. You can't get it from somebody else. No saint can give it to you. No preacher can give it to you. No high religious potentate can give it to you. No organization can give it to you. It's a pardon that he'll give you if you'll accept it. But if you'll accept it, you'll serve him. Not to be saved, but because you love him. You'll love him when you get that pardon. How could you keep from loving him? How could I keep from loving Jesus Christ? He died for me. Took my pardon. He offered it to me. I read the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life, so I take the pardon. The gift of God, G-I-F-T, gift of God. I read, by grace are you saved. Somebody said, well, I've got to do part of it myself. You can't do a part of it. It's not of works. If you lived 1,000,000 years and worked for Jesus Christ every day you lived, you couldn't buy one little room up in heaven. Salvation is not something you can buy. It's something that Jesus Christ bought with his own blood and paid for himself and did it for his enemies, not for his friends. He did that for sinners. That's divine love. That's the love that will not let me go. And so he went there and did that for you. And yet men are going on trying to save themselves, trying to do this, trying to do that, trying to do the other. Now, you are not saved by what you do. You are saved because of what he did for you, which you accept by faith. Then, of course, after you do that, you go out to serve him. And if you are really saved, you will serve him. If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. Do you mean to tell me that I'd trust Jesus Christ and not confess him? Do you mean to tell me that I'd go on and break his heart and live in sin? And go on, the Bible says he's born of God, does not commit sin. It's literally he doesn't practice sin. These things right eye on you, she sin not, don't sin, but if you habitually sin, you are not born of God. And Paul said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranathema, let him be accursed. Let him be cursed. If he doesn't love Jesus, he's not saved. Let him go on to hell if he nothing you can do about it. If you love Jesus Christ when you're saved, You know, you Christians know what I'm talking about. How things have changed. I remember a man one time that I told you about that lived in Montgomery, Alabama, where I used to preach so much, where I had one of the greatest meetings I ever had in my life. And this man said he used to hang around the barber shops and the soda fountains around town and make fun of me. He said, I despise you. I called you an old draft and crook. One day I got converted. He said, I just thought you were a nice fellow. I got saved. He said, I just loved you. Why, of course. But that didn't save him. Being saved made him love me, see. But you know, God commanded his love to us, commends it to us. When we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, men and women, if you don't love Jesus, you're in bad fix. You're a lost sinner. Makes a difference when you know him. They delivered him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took him, Jesus, and led him away. Led him away. Where are you taking him? Oh, I'm taking him up here and nailed him to a cross. The Son of God, yes. Oh, I don't know. He's no friend of Caesar's, you know. If he's a king and want to reign over us and take over everything, get the heel of Rome off our necks, it'd be different. But no, we don't want anybody to die like that. But if nobody died for you, you'd never go to heaven. You'd never be saved. There'd be no hope for you. Christ died for us. Wounded for our transgressions. Your old prophet said that. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. When he died, that's what happened. Your sin, my sin. The sin of the world was laid upon him, and he bore it. Bowed his head and died. And after a while, when he went to all the agony of all the damned in hell forever, God into the soul of the Son of God, and he cried, my God, why is thou forsaken? Don't you love Jesus Christ? If you don't love him, you're a sinner. If you do love him in your heart, and he's real to you, and you love him, you must be trusting. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him his word, just lean upon his promise, just say, no, thus saith the Lord. I'm resting in Christ today. My religion is this, I rely upon him, nobody else. On him and what he did for me, for my salvation. He died for me. He rose the third day. He's at the Father's right hand. And I want to say to you today, as you listen in, I'm trusting Jesus. He's my Savior. And he said, if I confess him before men, he'd confess me before my Father in heaven. Our Father, help us to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Us Christian people, good witnesses, true to him. Help practice what we preach and be faithful in all things. We pray in his precious name. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.